So this morning, I want to go back to a word that I shared a couple weeks back before we had other pastors share. And I want to do, maybe we want to call this a part two. But it's a timely word because I don't know about you, but when I'm talking with individuals or I'm observing individuals' lives, I've never seen as many people in a difficult press right now in their lives, in the body of Christ, but just in general. But I'm talking about believers where it just seems like if good happen, it's happening. If, you know, things are breaking loose on the right, the left, it's just, it is, if you will, life trying to overwhelm you or the enemy trying to overwhelm you or both. And this is where we have to grow in our faith, become disciplined in our walk, so that we don't falter, we don't fall, and we don't fail. So this morning, I want to talk again about, from a little different perspective, or one particular chapter, the believer shall live by faith. The believer shall live by faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forging ahead in trusting him. We'll get that together in just a moment so you can see it on the screen. The believer shall live by faith. Faith, acronym. Forging ahead in trusting him. Say that. Forging ahead in trusting him. The believer shall live by forging ahead in trusting him. Let me say it again. The believer shall live by forging ahead in trusting him. When we recite that, King James says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. To really understand, appreciate the weight of that, you've got to understand when it was first stated and why it was stated. And it has to do with the book of Habakkuk. Actually, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, and I quote this often, is where the word of God says, well, let me just pull it up real quick. Deborah, can you put that on the screen for me? Hebrews 10, 35. While she's finding it, cast not away your confidence. King James says, which has great recompense of reward. But you have need of patience that after you've done the will of the Father, you might receive the promise. Oh, that's a different scripture there, but okay, that's a good one too. But how many of you know any scripture is good? I guess. When we hear the just shall live by faith, it's from the book Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 2, 1 through 4, it says this, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, and we know this many times, we quote this, record the vision or write the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. Then it says this, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. But as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. But the righteous shall live by his faith. In order to appreciate that word, and more particularly as well when it talks about write the vision down, it has to do with the time when the Israelites are in bondage, captivity in Babylon. And there seems to be, or it seems as if God has just forgotten about his people. And Habakkuk is crying out, basically saying, God, where are you and why aren't you doing something? Can't you see how evil they are? Talking about Babylon. How bad they are? And God helps Habakkuk to know, this is all a part of my plan. I'm using Babylon to correct my people. And then he says, when he says write it down, he's helping him to understand, because at the appointed time, I will come and I will deal with Babylon for how they treated my people. See, it's not unlike God. That's why don't get overly concerned when somebody is treating you badly or a certain way. Trust that God's going to handle that. You don't want to live out of a place of revenge or vengeance. We want to stay in a place of grace and mercy. As a matter of fact, you would do well to pray that the same grace and mercy that's meted out to you by God would be meted out to them. That's how you and I stay in the safe place. But as he's crying out, God doesn't really answer him about the time frame. But he says, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. He's saying, I'm going to give you vision for the future. He says, it will be in an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. He says, but you, the righteous, you're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to live by forging ahead in trusting him, meaning that even when you can't see it, even when you don't feel it, even when it doesn't make sense, you keep forging ahead in trusting him. I'm talking about faith. And so if there's ever a chapter in the Bible, a book and chapter in the Bible that really speaks to it, it's Hebrews chapter 11. So that's where I want to camp at and spend the next few moments with you. I'm reading from the Message Bible because it just reads well. It reads in a format that makes it easy for us to understand. There's not any these and thous and all those kind of things and words that we have to translate for you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, it's the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Matter of fact, the Bible says concerning our salvation, for by grace are you saved through, I need y'all to talk to me now. Through what? Faith. Come on, y'all know the word of God, right? For by grace are you saved through faith. Through faith. That's how you and I come into the kingdom. It's our faith activated. It goes on and says this, it's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith, say the act of faith, is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. Let me remind you what the act of faith is, or the way that God gave it to me. The act of faith is an action taken as a direct result of a decision to totally trust and act on God's word in spite of one's limited ability or complete inability to see, reason, or comprehend. It is an action taken in absolute confidence that God is able to accomplish what he has spoken regardless of its complexity or seeming impossibility. It is an action taken with the belief that at the very moment the decision is made, it is done. Once acted upon, everything needed to fulfill it is in motion, and the desired outcome is assured. That's the act of faith. We're in this building right now because I believe that. What I just read to you, I believe that. I believe things are still in motion. Do you believe things are still in motion concerning you? Then you've got to forge ahead in trusting him. Even though you can't see it, don't know where it's going to come from, when it's going to show up, it will show up at the appointed time. That's what the writer is saying. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. It is the act of faith that sets you apart. Let me say it a different way. It's the act of faith that should set you apart. That when everybody else is nervous and everybody else is concerned and everybody else is wondering, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You're sitting there, you're calm, you're collected, and you found that place of peace. The act of faith. And so in Hebrews 11, it goes on and says this: by faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we don't see. By an act of faith, Abel, now listen to this, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice. When it comes to the giving, the sowing, I remember years ago, a dear lady was sharing that she was in a ministry, a rather large ministry, where they were used to receiving large gifts, and they were having some type of campaign. And right in the middle of the campaign, he asked for certain individuals to sow a significant amount. I think it was like $100,000. And she's sitting there, and a gentleman stands up, maybe a couple, basically committing $100,000. And everybody applauded and, you know, thanked him. She's sitting there and she's thinking this: I could do that, because she was wealthy. I could do that. But she said, then the thought came to mind, and she shared this with me. She says, God doesn't look at what you give. He looks at what you got left.
Your mic isn't working up.
Is it? Well, glory to God. Thank God for more than one microphone. She said, God spoke to her, says, I don't look at what you give. I look at what you have left, because what you have left really speaks to how great of sacrifice was it for you. So when I read that concerning the sacrifice of Cain and Abel, it was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. See, God always sees it differently. God sees you and I differently. He sees you complete. He sees you whole. He sees you in peace, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. That's how he sees us. He is wooing us, calling us into that place. The just, the believer, shall live by faith, forging ahead in trusting him. It goes on and says this: by faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith, from your faith. And why? Because everyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's why we are to always be growing in our faith. We are always to be exercising our faith. Sometimes we enter a season and we plateau off and it doesn't take a whole lot of faith. Then that's where you really want to press in. You want to forge ahead.
find that next place, that new place, that different place that causes you to exercise your faith in ways that you never have before. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. Now, how ridiculous is that? He was warned about something he couldn't see, had never seen, and acted on what he was told. That's faith. The result? His family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the righteous of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. Noah knew God. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him. He lived as a stranger, camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. Talking about eternal perspective. You do understand that we are in the world, but not of the world. And often the best we can do is say, God, give me a glimpse of home. Give me a glimpse of my eternal home, that I not get complacent here, that I not get content here, that I'm continuing to live out my faith, live out my life, knowing that all of this is temporal. Because as believers, we must live by forging ahead in trusting Him. And God will continue to bring to us words of encouragement. He will bring us prophetic words like He has recently to help us to know. Grab onto this word. It'll get you to the next place. It'll get you to the next place. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said. That's how it happened, that from one man's dead loins, there are now people numbering into the millions, literally the billions now. Each one of these people of faith died, not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back anytime they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that. Heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. By faith, Abraham, at the time of testing, offered Isaac back to God. Acting in faith, he was also ready to return the promised son, his only son, as he had been to receive him. And this after he had already been told, your descendants shall come from Isaac. How often do you and I hear something from God and then things look absolutely opposite? How often do we hear something from God and then he tells us something else? that seems like it contradicts the promise, that it contradicts what he said. That's when you've got to be able to walk, live in faith. Abraham figured that if God wanted to, he could raise the dead. In a sense, that's what happened when he received Isaac back alive from off the altar. See, in Abraham's mind, when God said, offer your son as a sacrifice, in Abraham's mind, Isaac was dead. Think about that. That's how obedient Abraham was. You promised me this son, and now it appears that you're taking him from me. You're asking me to offer him up. But I trust you, God. I'm not going to try to bargain with you. I'm not going to try to reason with you. I'm not going to try to figure this out. I'm not going to say, can't we get this lamb over here? Can't we get this? If that's what you're telling me to do, then that's what I'm going to do. And I love about it in the King James, although there's many ways to interpret it. After that, it says this, that God said to Abraham, now I know. Now I know. And as if he's saying, now I know that you know that I am God. Your actions demonstrate to me. Your act of faith, demonstrates to me. You see, we have to be so careful because we often can give lip service. I'm a person of faith. I believe God. I trust God. But then God offers you something. He says something. And now we're going to see. Something shows up in your life. Something shows up in your body. Can you keep forging ahead in trusting him? For 15 years, I kept forging ahead in trusting him. While my doctor was saying, we need to do something about this. We need to do something about this. I didn't plan for it to be 15 years, but it was. But it built a fortitude on the inside of me that allows me to be able to stand in seasons like this, sure-footed. This whole book of the Bible, this whole chapter, isn't a chapter of encouragement, because no matter what you're going through, others are going through things. No matter what you're going through, we're reading through individuals who went through things and yet never lost the faith, never gave up. Quit. Don't even think about it. Quitting, don't even think about it. Quitting, I just feel like, don't even think about it. By an act of faith, Isaac reached, looked into the future as he blessed Jacob and Esau. By an act of faith, Jacob, on his deathbed, blessed each of Joseph's sons in turn, blessing them with God's blessing, not his own, as he bowed worshipfully upon his staff. By an act of faith, Joseph, while dying, prophesied the exodus of Israel and made arrangements for his own burial. What kind of faith is it that's available to us? It's a faith that not only we live out, but we impart to generations, future generations. You should be talking to your sons. You should be talking to your daughters. You should be talking to your nieces. You should be talking to your nephews. You should be talking to your grandbabies. And you're speaking faith. You're speaking faith, and you're speaking future to them. That you can look into the future and say, I see you when you're older. And this is what I see God has for you. You speak blessing over them. So often in our raising and parenting, we're so much dealing with the challenges of parenting, particularly in today's times, that we forget to offer the blessing. I'm talking about faith and extending faith. That you can look and you can recognize, you can look and think that it's not going to always be like this. They're just going through a phase. They're just going through a stage. And my prayer is greater than the stage. My prayer is great. The God that I pray to is greater than this right here. So I'm not going to get stuck right here. My son David called me. He texted me. And he said, I need you to pray for me. I just want to be a wonderful father. He said, sometimes I feel like I'm correcting my son, Liam, just so much throughout the day. And I don't want him to start feeling bad about himself. One of the things about growing and maturing and fathering and then grandfathering, you know, there is a grace and a wisdom that shows up in grandfathering that you didn't have as a father. Yes, there is. As a grandmother. And I texted him back and I said, son, so try this. Every night when you lay him down, say, Liam, you are my beloved son, and I am so pleased with you. Good night. Tell him that. Let that be the last thing he hear. I wish I'd have known those kind of things when I was younger. But I'm grateful to hear those things and be able to impart them now. Isaac reached, looked into the future as he blessed Jacob and Esau. By an act of faith, Jacob, on his deathbed, blessed each of Joseph's sons in turn, blessing them with God's blessing, not his own. Then it says, by an act of faith, Joseph, while dying, prophesied the exodus of Israel and made arrangements for his own burial. I want you to understand something, and I need you to hear me in the most practical sense. We are not going to be here always. And it may make you feel some kind of way, but you don't want your children to figure out what to do with your remains once you're gone. Let me say it differently. You shouldn't want your children and your family to have to set up a GoFundMe account. I know y'all like, stick with the word now. This is the word. It says right here, and made arrangements for his own burial. See, as a people of faith who walk in faith, who recognize this is all temporal. We're not always going to be here. We are to live our lives to the fullest, walk it out in faith. But when it's time to go, you have set everything in order. You've blessed who you've needed to bless. You've given out future assignments. And then you help them to know, when my time is up, This is all you have to do. And some saints and some believers, they get that. It's just being responsible. So if anything, Joseph was responsible. Is that about faith? Yes, it is. It's exercising my faith that many will live past me, beyond me. That which I have, I need to make sure that it is stewarded well after I'm gone. And that everything is set in place. By faith, by an act of faith, Moses' parents hid him away for 3 months after his birth. They saw the child's beauty and they braved the king's decree, decided we're not going to let anything happen to this child. By faith, Moses, when grown, mature, say mature, refused the privileges of the Egyptian royal house, the world system. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic, soft life of sin with the oppressors. He valued suffering in the Messiah's camp far greater than Egyptian wealth because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. You see, in this walk of faith, in this exercising of faith, in this forging ahead in trusting him, you have to keep your eye on the payoff. Every athlete, every world-class athlete runs their body through rigorous exercise practices in order to be in the place for the payoff. They hone their skills, not looking at what they're dealing with right now, but recognizing this is a part of my preparation for the result I see down the road. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is faith that causes you to be able to see the invisible. It says he chose a hard life with God's people rather than the opportunistic soft life. He said, yeah, I could live this way, but if I choose to live this way, I may miss out on this over here. It really is a choice for us of exercising our faith. The just, the believer shall live by faith, forging ahead in trusting him. What is it that you're challenged by right now and you need to make up your mind? I'm forging ahead in trusting him. I will live out my life in faith. It goes on and says, he valued suffering in the Messiah's camp greater than Egyptian wealth, because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff. By an act of faith, he turned his heel on Egypt, indifferent to the king's blind rage. He had his eye on the one no eye can see and kept right on going, meaning he turned and he just walked away. By an act of faith, he kept the Passover feast and sprinkled Passover blood on each house so that the destroyer of the firstborn wouldn't touch them. There's something about the blood. There's something about knowing, declaring, proclaiming, I'm covered by the blood. I'm covered by the blood. The blood of Jesus covers me. The blood of Jesus covers me. The blood of Jesus covers me. All my sins have been washed away. I have been set free, no longer bound by things of old, nor the power of the enemy. The blood of Jesus covers me. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed my transgressions from me. The blood of Jesus covers me. Every now and then it's just good to say, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. The blood of Jesus covers me. By faith, the blood of Jesus covers me. It says, by an act of faith, Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians tried it and drowned. When we talk about forging ahead and trusting Him, you have to recognize and get okay with sometimes things are going to happen and they're going to look really strange and they're going to look really bad. But for the believer, hear me, but for the believer, it is God setting something up to get glory. I want you to know there's a difference in you giving God glory and God getting the glory. Giving God the glory is just you just deciding you want to give Him the glory. God getting the glory often means setting you in a situation or a circumstance that you may not like. And your need to endure it, walk through it, He says, because I want to get a level of glory out of this situation that you won't be able to give me on your own. Yeah. The people of God, they come out of Egypt. Prophetic word fulfilled. 400 years later, He tells Abraham, your people will be in bondage 400 years, but I will come. I will get them out. And when they leave, they will leave wealthy. So word is given to Moses, tell the people when it's time to go, tell the people to ask for stuff. And it says that when Pharaoh finally said, get out of here, all the people went to those who they served and were enslaved to and said, you know, I've always liked that piece right there. Can I get that? And to every household, they said, look, take whatever you want. Just get up out of here. Matter of fact, I'll give you what I got on. You know, just leave. And it says they plundered them. They plundered Egypt. Don't think that God is not watching. Don't think God is not keeping score. Don't think God ain't got a pad and pencil out and He's just marking down what's coming to you as a result of what you've been going through. Okay, nobody really caught that. So maybe you're not going through anything. Maybe it's just me. Okay, so God, I thank you right now for what's being released. I thank you right now. You keep better score than I could ever keep. And you don't just repay, you restore. It's not just recovery, it's restitution. I'm not just getting back what is owed. I'm getting back what I should have had all along had I never lost what I lost. That's why sometimes as a people of faith, we've got to let this thing just go all the way. Sometimes we just want it to end. What you don't realize is that often you're circumventing something. God is saying, no, I need this to go just a little longer. Because when it's over, it will be final. God works in finality when it comes to dealing with sin. He didn't send Jesus hoping it would work. He sent His Son knowing it is the answer. And so God set Pharaoh up. When they left out, the people of God left out, God sent word, said, tell them to turn around and come back. It says, when Pharaoh saw that they turned around, he said, they're confused in the wilderness. He said, well, I'm going after them. God set that up. He just needed to edge him on to get him to come out there. And once He got them there, and Moses is standing there at the Red Sea, and the people are crying out, saying, you brought us here to die. Moses cries out to God, and God says, what are you talking about? Why are you talking to me? Take that rod in your hand and stretch it out. part the waters. What God was saying is, you handle your business, I'll handle mine. You get the people on the other side, I'll deal with the Egyptians. I'm speaking to somebody right now. You need to stay focused. You need to stay focused. You need to stay focused. By faith, the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, and the walls fell flat. By an act of faith, Rahab, the Jericho harlot, welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust God. There are so many more. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. In parentheses, I added these. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, Deborah, Ruth, Esther, Hannah. Yeah, there's some sisters up in here as well. I thought I'd get a few more hollers from a few of the ladies in here. Through acts of faith, say acts of faith. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, and sword thrusts. Turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who were under torture, refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips, and yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sold in two, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them. Making their way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith, not complete, apart from ours. Your faith counts. My faith counts. Our faith counts for generations past and generations future. I need you exercising your faith. I need you living your best life in God. We need to encourage one another to forge ahead in trusting Him. We are a people of faith. We are called to live by faith. The writer goes ahead, and I'm finishing up here. The writer goes ahead and he says this in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. He says this, do you see what this means? What's he talking about? All the things I just read to you. All the people we just heard about. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way. All these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Quitting? Don't even think about it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. Never quit. Never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in God, with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. Ah. Have you grown to the place where you can say, I can put up with anything? See, some of us could say, I didn't know I had it in me. I didn't know I could be pushed like this, but I'm still here. And I'm stronger for it. I'm wiser for it. Yes, it's been painful. Yes, it's been a challenge. But one thing, I never lost faith. I stand here today, my faith still intact. Though times have been hard, I will not look back, except to remind myself, God, you have kept me. Study how he did it. He never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. See, he is not only the author and finisher of our faith. He is faith personified. I so love when we read in the scriptures, and I love in the portrayal of Jesus in the series The Chosen, how that you visibly see how Jesus handled people, and when he knew he needed to draw away, when he needed to steady himself, settle himself, get to himself. It's a discipline I learned years ago. Even before I was married. One occasion I was still staying with my parents. And I said, I just need to get with God. And I went down the basement. It wasn't a finished basement like many of us have now. Clotheslines hanging along the way. And, you know, there was cobwebs and stuff. But I went down there with a card table. Some of y'all know what a card table is. If I say bid whist, some of y'all would raise your hands, but blackjack or something. I had a card table, and I had my Bible, and I had a commentary, and I had a pillow, and I had a blanket. And I stayed there for 3 days, Kevin. I just knew I just wanted to be alone with God. It began a discipline for me of pulling away, getting still, getting quiet. I do it to this day. Jesus had that kind of discipline. If you and I are going to be effective with everything that's going on, you've got to build that kind of discipline, that kind of time with God, with the Father. There were so many pulling on Jesus because they thought he was going to overthrow Rome. He kept telling them, you don't understand the plan. There is an end game, but it's not here, it's not now. And if it was here and now, there'd be a whole lot of other folks that wouldn't get to be a part of my Father's plan. Rome thought he was trying to overthrow Rome. That's why they killed him, or so they thought. But all of it was a part of God's plan. But it was the exercising of his faith. His faith in that if he died for the sin of the world, his Father would raise him up. And so he did. Even in the midst of his most challenging time in the Garden of Gethsemane, where there it says, the pressure, the weight of so great, it was as drops of blood coming down his forehead. And And that's when he cried out in his humanity and said, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, I need you to know it's okay sometimes to say, can there be another way? Is there another way? But then I encourage you to find the strength, find the voice to say, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours. I'm going to forge ahead in trusting him. And the scripture says that the moment he said that, an angel came and ministered to him, imparted strength to him. And when he got up, it was settled. It was done. Just like when Abraham took his son and started heading up that mountain. Now Jesus is heading towards his. And there was no question after that concerning it. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. So when you find yourselves fledging in your faith, go over that story again, the one we just read, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Because this is our reality. His victory is our victory. His victory is my victory. His victory is our victory. Come on. His victory is my victory. He is the author, the finisher of our faith. Every believer must live by faith, forging ahead in trusting him. Your victory is assured in the realm of eternity. You have already won. Would you thank the Lord right now for that victory?